Condolence payments for civilian casualties have been a long-standing military policy, especially in Afghanistan. But what happens when those civilian casualties are caused by drone strikes and the U.S. denies any involvement? That could very well be what's going on in Yemen, where at least 6 civilian deaths have been reported over the last 2 weeks, despite the fact that the White House and the military have not publicly acknowledged that there have been any drone activity there. Cora Currier, reporting fellow at ProPublica, joins us now to talk about it. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Welcome back. There have been 9 reported drone strikes in Yemen in the past 2 weeks after a 7-week hiatus. Why was there a pause?
Well, the White House had come under quite a bit of criticism over the past 6 months, really since the nomination of John Brennan for CIA director sort of drummed up a lot of political and public attention to the drone program, which had pretty much flown under the radar, to use a terrible pun. And so the White House had, partially in response to this criticism, started scaling back some of its operations in Yemen.
But now it's resumed them? Why?
As in response to the intercept, intercept of an al-Qaeda threat that caused the broad, the closing of dozens of embassies across the Middle East and Africa. The embassy in Sana'a, Yemen, is actually still closed. U.S. officials have told reporters that that was responsible for the recent uptick in strikes. A senior administration official actually told the New York Times that the threat had allowed the military to broaden the range of targets it goes after in Yemen.
Well, we know about 6 civilian deaths. Do we know how many Yemenis in total have been killed in drone strikes to date?
To date, there's several dozen at least, possibly as much as 100. It really varies depending on what source you're looking at. We've got estimates of about 36 in the past 2 weeks.
And civilian casualties tend to be a part of each of them?
There have been decreasing numbers of civilian casualties reported in the past year, I think in part because of the reduced number of strikes overall. There were 42 strikes in Yemen last year, only 20 to date this year, and that's most of those have come in the last 2 weeks.
And how are we hearing about them? We're not getting any information from the U.S. government, are we?
We get rare confirmation, generally off the record from U.S. officials. A lot of it comes from Yemeni officials, Yemeni government officials, and increasingly from Yemeni journalists and activists who are taking a much more proactive role in putting this, particularly on Twitter. You can follow a lot of Yemeni activists on Twitter, and they will be there on the ground talking to people saying, a child was killed, 3 civilians were injured, etc., and that's much more detailed.
Do they tend to be in certain areas of Yemen?
They tend to be some strikes have been very close to the capital city of Sana'a. Others are in, more remote areas that makes the reporting more difficult.
Many of the drone strikes in Yemen are what are called signature strikes. What are they?
Signature strikes is when the U.S. fires on groups people who display what's known as a signature of militant activity. That could be sort of assembling something as specific as assembling a bomb, or other officials have given more generic definitions like groups of military-aged men. That policy came under a lot of criticism recently and has reportedly been pulled back, although we don't really know what this most recent telegraphing means about expanded targets in Yemen.
Well, so there's this signature strike because a bunch of young men with guns were seen gathering in a house. Is there ever any follow-up to find out if they actually were terrorists?
Well, in Yemen, it's interesting. There's a lot more access for local journalists and some outside journalists to get to the site of these strikes, unlike in Pakistan, where you had very, very little reporting, both by Pakistanis and outsiders. So in Yemen, there have been a number of reporters who have been able to actually go to the scene of strikes, interview people, and often they're not alleging large numbers of civilian casualties, but they are raising questions about who these people are, why they were targeted, even if they were militants, even if they professed some ideological affiliation with al-Qaeda, were they really a threat to the United States?
And then you have to determine whether they weren't just people who happened to be in the area.
Yeah, and that's the other concern, obviously.
Aren't the U.S. government imposed restrictions on signature strikes unique to each country? Different in Yemen than Pakistan?
Yeah, the U.S. has said that it has much tighter rules in Yemen for who it can go after, Unlike Pakistan, where the CIA, which is operated exclusively by the CIA, in Yemen, it's both military and the CIA, and the military is said to have more tighter restrictions on who it can go after.
And why tighter restrictions in Yemen?
Well, I think it's in part responding to criticism of the Pakistani program. The Pakistani program has also, the number of strikes dropped off significantly in recent years. It's also a reflection of the closer relationship that we have with the Yemeni military establishment, and probably more information sharing, more actions that we actually put in the hands of the sort of Yemeni military.
The tightened restrictions were part of a larger White House statement on drone strikes that the president announced last May. What were some of the other changes listed in President Obama's speech?
Well, they made a very explicit statement that there must be near certainty that no civilians will be harmed in a strike.
But that hasn't happened.
Well, certainly, yeah, there have been civilian deaths alleged since then, and the White House hasn't responded to that. And what I actually found really interesting about the guidelines was that they made no mention of the after process, what happens after a strike. They don't say anything about how the U.S. Gathers, sort of evaluates a strike, and whether or not they were ever going to make anything public.
And in that speech, the president said that there would be more transparency about the drone program. Has his administration followed through on that?
Not when it comes to civilian deaths. You had John Brennan in February saying during his CIA confirmation hearings that the U.S. ought to make it public when the U.S. kills civilians, that they ought to release overall numbers of civilian deaths. And they still haven't done that. And that was not in the guidelines or in President Obama's speech in May.
And I mentioned at the beginning that condolence payments for civilian casualties have been a longstanding military policy. Before we get into what they entail, would a condolence payment conflict with the policy of secrecy that we're maintaining in Yemen?
Well, it would certainly lay a trail, you know, a literal money trail on where, you know, we had struck. It would mean that we were acknowledging at the very least to the family, even if they weren't making them public. The family could then talk about it. There's been very little reporting that shows that these payments are actually being made in Yemen or even in Pakistan. There's a few instances where you hear about people receiving money, but very few. And that's in contrast to Afghanistan, where you have a real paper trail in the military showing how these payments are made. The ACLU a few years ago got a huge number of documents from Iraq showing claims by civilians for damages. They ended up being really illuminating. They showed a lot about checkpoint deaths, which was a big issue in Iraq. You were able to read through each claim and see, you know, what the family had alleged, what the military alleged, and what they settled on. And they're not necessarily admissions of wrongdoing, but they are an acknowledgement and bring some transparency.
Well, they're also part of the Hearts and Minds approach to our military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. We're less concerned about that in Yemen?
Well,
I know in Pakistan there have been serious demonstrations against our drone program. We're obviously not winning over hearts and minds in Pakistan.
Yeah, and it's unclear whether, you know, a token amount of money, a few thousand dollars, would make that difference.
Here's $10,000 to pay for the death of your baby? Is that the sort of thing we're talking
about? Yeah, in Afghanistan, that's been about $5,000. Some go up in particularly egregious cases. But in Afghanistan and Iraq, they've been very effective. Military leaders really embrace them as a way to, yeah, as you said, do this hearts and minds battle. But it's much trickier in a place where the U.S. doesn't have troops on the ground. Troops are not intermingling with the Yemeni civilian population. And so it's more abstract. It might actually be seen as an insult. It's not really clear, you know, how exactly it would work, but it is something that they've said that they, you know, John Brennan has said they do. And the military says they don't, so we're left in this sort of murky area.
My guest is Cora Currier, a reporting fellow at ProPublica. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Well, do we have any idea of how the government determines what would be owed to a family if there was an accidental death, a collateral death?
In Afghanistan, it's been they've just set sort of minimums. Maximums, $5,000 for a death or up to $5,000 for some property damage, depending on the situation.
$300 for the loss of an arm?
Right. I mean, it does. It sounds callous. And, you know, when I first started reporting on this, I thought it was just such a strange thing that this had come to become embraced by the modern military establishment as a tool. And it seemed really sort of cynical and callous. But you have it now also being embraced by civilian advocates, so groups like the Center for Civilians in Conflict, which now say that, you know, really promote this in the international community as well as a tool for assuaging the effects of warfare on civilian populations.
But I suspect we have no idea how much of the military's budget goes towards paying off these families.
In Afghanistan, we do get numbers on that. In financial year 2012, the U.S. paid out roughly $800,000, close to $900,000, for about 300 payments in Afghanistan.
And how do we get that information? Does the government release it? I know for this, for your work here reporting on Yemen, you had to file a FOIA request, mm-hmm. Freedom of Information Act request. Does the military release it in some instances?
In Afghanistan, again, because there's just more transparency, because it's not so much less as covert about the war there, you can ask for those numbers. I didn't have to file a FOIA to get the numbers on Afghanistan. They gave them to me to get the specific reports that show the process by which these claims were adjudicated. That often requires a information request. But for Yemen, we got nothing. We asked for it, and we were told that there were 33 pages related to condolence payments, but they weren't going to enumerate them or release them to us.
Because they're totally top secret?
They cited a couple of reasons. One of them was that they might contain national security information, classified information. Another reason they gave was that it might contain sort of personal information, military phone numbers, addresses, things like that. A few people I talked to about this speculated that that might imply that there's some sort of correspondence in there with the Yemeni government. It's possible that this information includes petitions for people trying to get condolence payments, but we really don't know. We have no idea what those 33 pages are.
The justification, I assume, is that Yemen right now is seen as a hotspot for terrorist activity?
In the justifications for the strikes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the U.S. has said...
Is Yemen worse than other countries?
Well, it's the center, you know, it's the center for al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which the U.S. has identified as al-Qaeda's top affiliate, the affiliate they're most concerned about that has the ability, they say, to launch attacks, international attacks, whose aims aren't purely local. And that's really why they've focused on Yemen.
Although, as we saw in the 9/11 attacks, many of the people involved came from Saudi Arabia, but we've never done a drone strike anywhere in Saudi Arabia, where I'm sure there are some dangerous people living.
Right. If you look back to a lot of the administration's public defense of the drone program, the targeted killing program, they often say that, you know, we take action in places where our partners are unwilling or unable to do so. And that's been, I think, part of the rationale in Yemen is that the U.S. works alongside, or sometimes when the Yemeni government might not have the either technological or political capability to go after somebody that the U.S. wants.
On June 9th, an apparent drone strike in the Yemeni village of Mahashama killed a targeted al-Qaeda chief and some of his cohorts, but it also killed a 10-year-old boy, the chief's younger brother. This incident was widely reported in the United States. How did we hear about it?
It came out again first on Twitter. There were local people reporting it. A McClatchy reporter went and followed up a couple weeks later and did, you know, in-depth interviews with villagers to confirm that the child had been killed. And nobody had, you know, this sort of went on for a little while, and I had been asking the White House for quite some time to comment in general on civilian strikes. Were they going to make start acknowledging them, start making estimates public? And so after this account, I, you know, continued to ask them about it, and they just refused to say whether they would comment on it, whether the U.S. had any involvement at all. Their general rationale is that the U.S. won't comment on what they call operational issues.
What about in Yemen? Has this been widely reported in the Yemeni press?
I think the Yemeni press has been more and more active reporting on these things. And as I said, the fact now that you can you've got a couple people there reporting in English as well as Arabic, you get a wider audience and more pressure, frankly, on the White House to acknowledge.
Even if innocent people were not killed in Yemen, in Pakistan, wherever there have been drone strikes, people have opposed them simply because they violate their country's sovereignty. I wonder whether condolence payments would smooth over feelings of that sort.
It's possible. It's a bit of a catch-22, I think, because, again, condolence payments would provide a paper trail. They would provide a sort of official acknowledgement that this is what's going on, whereas right now what you have in Yemen is, although the U.S. has acknowledged in general that it's operating there, they don't talk about specifics. They don't generally parcel out what their role in a strike is versus what the Yemeni military's role is. And I think that side has worked well for both sides.
There's been a change of government in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
Are they being as cooperative as their predecessor?
Well, from what
who was pushed out of office?
Yeah, from what we can see, both Hadi, the new president Hadi, and the previous president Saleh were quite cooperative with the U.S. on counterterrorism issues. Hadi and Obama have been discussing the future of Guantanamo and the Yemeni detainees that are there. But at least from what we can see, what's hitting the ground, literally hitting the ground in Yemen, it would appear that the relationship continues.
Do we know whether Yemen would be willing to take those people back? Part of the problem in getting some of the people out of Guantanamo is nobody wants them.
Yemen has called for the release of a number of its citizens who are in Guantanamo. The Obama administration lifted the moratorium that they had put, a self-imposed moratorium on transfers to Yemen, which they had said was too unstable given the al-Qaeda activity there. There's a lot of concern about people getting out of prison. The prison breaks are very common in Yemen. And I think that they're still working through those issues before they actually release anybody to the country.
Despite this recent surge of drone attacks in Yemen, haven't there been fewer reported strikes and civilian deaths this year than in the past?
Starting last year, there was really a pretty precipitous decline, particularly in Pakistan. You had more than 100 strikes in Pakistan in 2010, and that number has just kept dropping down to roughly 18 strikes in Pakistan this year. In Yemen, we're not really sure yet because last year there were 40-some, and this year there are have been 20-some to date. So we don't really know in Yemen yet, but it's definitely dropped off.
Would that suggest that the restrictions are working?
It would suggest, yeah, that the administration is taking a more careful and I think has recognized the increased scrutiny on the program, the increased public attention to a war that has been fought for several years without public attention or acknowledgement.
Cora Currier is a reporting fellow at ProPublica. She's written about the current situation with drone strikes in Yemen. And I thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thanks for having me.